Hello. Okay, so I'll be showing you some results from the first 2 years of some field experiments, first 2 years of our current project, of which we're in the third year. The goal of these field experiments were to better understand crop responses to water shortfalls. We are looking specifically in corn and sunflower. The aims of the research were to determine if we could save ET through deficit irrigation. Particularly, we're interested in exploring possibilities of using seasonally optimized distribution of deficits to increase water use efficiency above the current relationships that we find between yield and ET. We typically, a lot of experiments looking at these water production functions find a linear relationship between yield and ET, and we were exploring particularly specific hypotheses to see if we could use preconditioning of plants during the late vegetation phases of growth to get above these water use efficiencies, to get greater water use efficiencies. We're also, during the course of these experiments, looking at plant responses, particularly in shoot and root growth and hydraulic and photosynthetic regulation, to see, to answer specific questions, do we need to implement deficit irrigation differently among these two contrasting crops, maize being C4 and sunflower being C3. We're also exploring traits to see perhaps where these crops are failing, and if we can recommend traits to target for breeders. Okay. So you've seen a few people talk about our site at Greeley, Colorado. We are working in Greeley mainly because the site gives us good control over ET. We are at the site, we are at the lowest point in rainfall east. We're in the green shadow of the Rocky Mountains. We have about 300 millimeters of annual precipitation. About two-thirds of this falls during the field season. And we have very sandy loamy soils, which allows us to in a normal year, give good control over treatments without the use of rainout shelters. In this map here, you see the area of the farm that we're using for the experiments I'll be showing you. We have 48 plots in for both crops, 96 plots total. We have 12, this gives us 12 treatments in four blocks for each crop. Our plots in total are about 11.5 acres. We have, for any single plot, we have 12 rows that are about 145 feet long. So we end up with good plot sizes for our small plot experiments. This particular photograph was taken this year. We had an early season frost, an early killing frost, and what you see in the light green is actually corn that was killed off by this early season frost, and sunflower is here in the darker green. So our treatments, the 12 treatments that we're imposing targeting two times in the season for applying stress. So these two periods are the late vegetative and the maturation phase of grain filling. And we're fully irrigating all treatments during the early vegetative and during anthesis. The 12 treatments are here in this chart below. And what we have there, we designate them by the percent of ET on both sides of that slash. Each side of that slash is associated with one of these two periods. We have five treatments then that we implement that have the same amount of deficit during these two periods, these two stress periods that we're imposing, from 100% ET down to 40% of ET in these two periods. And using these five treatments, then we can produce a water production function. And then we're looking to see with the remaining treatments how stress during the late vegetative period, how two different levels of stress, with the 65% ET during this late vegetative stress and 80% a very light stress during this late vegetative, is causing the overall water use efficiency to change, and perhaps our initial predictions were that perhaps a moderate stress during this late vegetative phase would lead to the crops being able to maintain better water use efficiency during the maturation, lead to overall greater water use efficiency in the season. Okay, so the plant responses to deficit that we can parse out, we're looking at hydraulic regulation, which is a short-term response to deficit, looking at thermal conductance and total shoot hydraulic conductance. We're looking also at some photosynthetic responses. This is also, it's a short-term response that plants will adapt to stresses and moderate their photosynthetic capacities over more midterm periods. And ultimately, these short and midterm responses ultimately control the growth responses that lead to a more long-term response of these treatments and ultimately yield responses. In these experiments, we're following water balance very carefully. We take soil water measurements both before and after each irrigation. In the top 15 centimeters, these are taken with TDR. Down to 200 centimeters, these are done with a neutron probe reading. So we take a lot of neutron probe readings to document and calculate water balance very carefully in all of these treatments through the season. Our crop water production functions now, showing you data on two crops, 2 years of each crop. The black filled in symbols here are for corn. The gray symbols here are for sunflower in 2 years. Very contrasting relationships between the two. You'll notice that that the curves for maize are slightly higher. They show slightly higher ET use for maize than for sunflower. But water use efficiency is much higher in maize. In fact, our yields are about four times higher in maize than sunflower. In 2012, we had a very exceptionally hot, dry year, very high VPD. So both for corn up here and for sunflower down here, we had about ET use was about 200 millimeters greater than what we would consider average. But relationships between the two crops were similar. So in 2013 was a more typical year for corn, and 2010 a more typical year for sunflower. And that's the information that's here below. We typically, for corn, see about 625 millimeters for the well-irrigated, and for sunflower, about 440 millimeters of moisture needed for a fully irrigated crop. Taking a look, here is our 2013 data for corn, and we have 12 treatments plotted. The regression line here is determined from the five treatments here in the filled-in symbols. These are the treatments that we have the same deficit irrigation in both those periods during the late vegetative and maturation phases. In yellow, we have treatments that had a very light deficit during the late vegetative period. And in pink, we have the treatments that had a more heavy 65% ET during the late vegetative. We find consistently now, we find that the treatments that actually fall below in water use efficiency or treatments that had either full or just very light deficit irrigation during the late vegetative phases. And when we apply greater deficit irrigation during the maturation phase, we find that yields in these treatments crash and water use efficiency is below the line. In the one treatment that we actually find that gets above this, that gives us higher water use efficiency, is the treatment that has a more moderate, a stronger amount of deficit, a 65% ET during the late vegetative phase, followed by putting on, basically bringing it up to almost fully water during the maturation phase. It may seem like a very small departure from the water production function. However, if you look a little bit more closely, we are maintaining almost full yields, and it turns out to be about a 14% decrease in moisture in ET used. We see the same results now. It's the same treatments that fall below the line and the same treatment that falls above. In corn, in maize in 2012, and sunflower also in 2012. And we are keenly interested to try more versions now of this treatment rather. So what we're finding in effect that these treatments here now that we had with 65% deficits during the late vegetative are keeping those yields from crashing too far below the line when we impose greater deficits later, but it's not causing an increase in water use efficiency. The only treatment that's really showing to get above and increase water use efficiency and maintain yields close to fully irrigated is this treatment here, where we actually impose a larger deficit during the later late vegetative phase, followed by putting on as much moisture as we can during maturation. So we are interested in actively trying to change some of our treatments so that we can impose more treatments in this direction here, maybe with a 40% deficit followed by an 40% ET followed by an 80% ET during the maturation. So to take a step back now and try to explore just why, from the crop physiology, what's underlying these responses. Here, we're taking a look at leaf area index. This is leaf area per ground area, unitless number. In corn, we see, when you take a look at the effects of these treatments, here we have a deficit treatment next to a fully irrigated treatment. It's quite dramatic how much shorter the crop is. You have almost half the height in the deficit irrigated treatment. And in this particular picture, the leaves are quite curled. It's during the late vegetative stress period. And it seems that the plants are a lot smaller. But if we actually look at measured leaf area index, there's slightly less leaf area. But it turns out that although there's slightly less leaf area in the 40% ET treatment, it still yields almost full light interception. So this LAI is actually a hard measured, destructively measured LAI. Here we have the IPAR, fraction of intercepted light. We find typically with corn that anywhere between an LAI of 3.5 and just under 4, we get almost full light interception. I should have mentioned we have 4 treatments on this graph here. We have data on all 12 treatments, but in order to show a more clear picture of what's happening so that you can actually see the treatments tell them apart from each other, I've graphed 4. In blue, we have the full irrigation treatment, 100% ET treatment. In yellow, the 65-65, and in red, the 40-40. And the light blue X's is our treatment that starts with 65% ET in the late vegetative and ends with 80% ET in the maturation phase. Leaf area index in sunflower, on the other hand, sunflower does, first of all, overall leaf area index is about two-thirds that of corn in the fully irrigated treatment. And we do see that the deficit irrigation treatments do cause an effect of less, do cause the crops to produce less leaf area. And leaf area index in the 40-40 treatment, it ends up giving us about 70% of light interception, and where, as in the fully irrigated treatments, we end up with about 85% light interception. And yet the crops are not seemingly affected by that decrease in light interception. If we take a look at midday stomatal conductance, here we have parameter data from the leaf underside of, again, those same four treatments. One of the striking differences, first of all, you'll notice that stomatal conductance in sunflower is almost double that of corn in general. But if we take a closer look, we see during this midday stomatal conductance, treatment differences are very small in between maize. The maize has pretty tight control over stomatal conductance, and so during midday, even the fully irrigated treatments are closing their stomates and or reducing their stomatal conductance. In sunflower, we see there seems to be tight regulation among treatments during the maturation phase, but in the late vegetative phase, the stomatal conductance is quite different between the treatments. It seems that during this phase, the sunflower is less able to regulate stomatal conductance, and the treatments that have more deficit have less water to use, and therefore those treatments are down-regulating, are causing the plants to stop using as much water through stomatal conductance during that phase. We see this also with other measurements that we're taking. See that the corn is actually quite responsive when you take leaf level measurements, whereas sunflower takes a lot longer to respond when we take leaf level measurements. If we move on to take a look at leaf physiological responses, this is some of our fluorescence data, again with the same four treatments. Fluorescence, of course, is giving the electron transport capacity of photosystem 2. We see that that maize is quite plastic in its responses, and we see differences between treatments, and these treatment differences also shift throughout the season depending on what the plants are experiencing. In sunflower, the treatments are much closer together. We unfortunately don't have data during the late vegetative period, but we see that during the stress period of the maturation phase, that the treatment differences are much closer together until the plants start shutting down towards the end of the season. I'm going to skip over the hydraulic conductance measurements. We find that total shoot hydraulic conductance seems to scale more closely with leaf area in the corn, seems less plastic. Sunflower, I have some other data from greenhouse experiments that show that sunflower is actually quite plastic in determining total shoot hydraulic conductance. And I'm going to present a little bit of our mini rhizotron data. In looking at both canopy development above ground, we also took root growth and distribution in seven treatments, seven of the 12 treatments, with the mini rhizotron system from Bartz Technology. We put this camera in the ground and take develop a portfolio of windows over the course of the season for each spot that the camera is recording images. We record images about every 2 weeks with a viewing area down to 1 meter. These are some of our root totals. In two of the seven treatments that we have data for, we see that, just for contrast, this is in blue, our fully irrigated treatment, and our 40% deficit treatment in red. And we see in both crops we get much more root length for, and then if we consider that these plants in corn have very similar leaf area, and in sunflower, that the leaf area in the deficit treatment is much less, and it shows that we're getting even greater root to shoot ratios. So not only do we have larger root systems in the deficit treatments as is expected, we also have deeper root systems in, this is our total annual root system length in the windows by depth intervals, and we see that the deficit treatments are getting deeper into the profile. But just as a words of caution, in our system, over the course of the season, we are irrigating, our fully irrigated treatment, we irrigate down to 90 to 100 centimeters. But with our deficit treatments, over the course of the season, the amount of water in the soil profile in our deficit treatments is actually creeping up, that the water in our deficit treatments doesn't reach very far down. So those deeper roots aren't really helping the plants very much in our particular system. So to conclude, the treatments that we were exploring suggest that we may be able to increase water use efficiency by imposing large deficits to control plant size during the late vegetative stages for corn and sunflower, and save irrigation for grain filling. Overall, we see a much more responsive photosynthetic control and conservative somatal conductance in maize. In sunflower, these deficits, especially during the late vegetative, may serve to conserve water use during that late vegetative stage. And then, although preconditioning didn't increase water use efficiency, there is some evidence that the preconditioning of maize or sunflower buffers the impact of deficits during the grain filling stages. As far as traits for breeding, we still are working in doing a lot more investigating of how plants might be failing under deficit irrigation. We're particularly interested in xylem functions and implications for hydraulic conductance and photosynthetic responses. But it's tempting at this point to suggest that perhaps the conservative hydraulics in maize are too conservative, and that perhaps in sunflower, especially during the late vegetative phases, we could use germplasm that is more conservative in hydraulic function for sunflower. And in our system, perhaps shallow roots would be a better strategy for plants in our system, where the water ends up more shallow in the deficit treatments. So I'll end by thanking all the people our unit relies on for getting this work done.
Any questions?
Maybe for any.
You can ask.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay.
It could be. So the question is, why our leaf area index for maize is low? That a lot of times leaf area index is destructively is estimated for using different pieces of equipment. Leaf area index that I'm showing is actually destructively harvested. It might be equipment differences. Okay, you measure it the same way. Okay, it could be a different germplasm that's different for. So we're working in Colorado. I'm not sure where your field sites are. In Nebraska, so yeah.